Well, grace and peace to all of you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our title today for our little message is ROI. Now, there are many folks in this audience who are business people who know exactly what ROI means. It's your return on investment. And you might say, well, Pastor, what in the world are we talking about business when we ought to be talking about salvation? Let me explain something that you may not be aware of, is that Jesus was very sensitive to the issue of money. In fact, when you go through his parables, all 40 of them, were directed to money. He focused on money because the people at that time focused on money. And be you a president of a corporation, they speak in terms of increases in shareholder value. Business people evaluate investments on the basis of risk, versus the return. And of course, many of us who are retired, we care a lot about our interest rates that are given by investment companies or by our local banks. Now, I thought that was pretty complicated at one time until Will Rogers was a fellow back around 1930, who really clarified this point. He said people were making the issue of investing money way too complicated. And he said people should not gamble with their money. He said this is simple. He told them to take all of their savings, all of their money, and buy really good stocks and hold them until they go up. And if they don't go up, don't buy them. Pretty straightforward. Very simple. Well, you heard the reading of the gospel today, and it was an issue of, believe it or not, return on investment. We had, in that case, three investors. One had five talents, was given five talents, one another given two, and of course one received one. Now, before I go any further, I know how well we know this story because you've learned this in Sunday school since you were wee little ones. But the significance of this parable is, I want you to think about this. This was told only one or two days before Christ was crucified. So this little message to his people was very important. He wanted them to understand it. Now, what kind of talent is Christ talking about? Well, a talent back in this era, around 30 AD, was a weight. Now, here's the intriguing thing about this. You may have never noticed. Jesus does not tell you what the weight was of the object. He didn't tell you if this was silver, gold, or diamonds, because he's not focusing your attention on that. What he is focusing your attention on is the heart of the investor. Now, an interesting thing about this same time period is that this isn't an unusual story. It was not unusual for a master to have slaves who worked for them and actually did this kind of work. They were investors. So it wasn't that they were gone or they were there. They just did this as part of their work. They invested money on a regular basis. Now, in this case, there were different amounts. Why? Because the person making the decision, the master, allocated his treasure according to the ability, and that's the message to you today, your ability to take what he gives you to use. The interesting thing is, you'll notice at the very end of this parable, Jesus has a very clear message for them and for all of us sitting here today. Jesus expects results. He expects you to take risk. And if you are his broker, he wants good results. And oh, by the way, if you notice this entire story, nothing is mentioned about commission rates that he's going to pay his slaves. Well, as you heard from the vicar, two of the slaves did very well. The one who received the 5 talents returned double. The one who received 2 talents did what? He doubled. They both increased 100%. And in the investment world, depending on how much time the talents were held, that's a pretty fair return. We kind of applaud. We applaud that. Our reading says, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I'm going to set you over a whole bunch of things. Come enter the joy of your master." Who did he say that to? Now watch this. He said that to the one he gave 5. He said the exact same thing to the one he gave 2. He didn't vary on his applause or his congratulations. The one he gave the most to got the applause and was well received. The one he gave half his amount to, less, received congratulations and great joy also, and received the same benefits. There was absolutely no difference at all. There was differences in the quantity of the talents, but not in the return. He says, enter the joy. And that's the power I want you to take away from this parable. What he said to those 2. You might note that their excitement of the slave, they were joyous. Did you notice that he said, "Oh, look what I've done, look what I've done. I've done 5 or I've done 2. They weren't doing this because they were going to receive something. They did it because they were proud and they were happy and they were joyous what they were able to do for their master. Great joy, because they did a good job. But, as often happens in life, one servant didn't do too good. He was not allowed to enter joy. Why? Because this one slave took the money and hid it. He buried it in the ground. Now, there was nothing wrong back in that time of burying valuables in the ground to hide them away from thieves and robbers. But this third slave did not have the love. He did not have the caring. He didn't have the honor that was needed for his master. Now, here's what the slave does. The slave who did so poorly does what we do so many times. We turn around and we go, it wasn't my fault. And here's why it wasn't my fault. He accuses the master. Now, this is a lame excuse, but he says, you know, you're a hard guy. And if I lost that talent while doing your business, you would hold me accountable and you would demand it of me anyway. So I was afraid. That's what was wrong. I was afraid. And the only thing I could do was to hide it. Hide it so I wouldn't lose it. And here it is. Here, let me give you your talent back. Now, this is the scary part. And this is something we may not be ready for today. The reaction of the master. The reaction of God. How does he react to failure? Was he too harsh? Did he do things that were a little over the top in our mind? And this may be a problem with our society, because how we correct things today is we say, I bet you wanted to do better. Or if you get out of line, we might slap your hand or say, oh, you're not nice, or... Boy, things have changed. Things have changed. How would Jesus have handled that? Well, let's see. He wanted the perpetrator. He wanted the slave. He wanted the non-performer cast out into outer darkness, where they would experience weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Is it possible? Is it possible that we have trouble coming to grips with how our Lord judges us? We have different skills, we know that. And we have different gifts from God. As you go through life, you have received gifts. Well, what could they be? Well, I had the fortune in early in my career to work with an older gentleman who said, you know, life is pretty simple. You get a certain number of chances. Some are silver, some are gold, and every once in a while in your lifetime you have one or two diamonds that pop up, the big chance. God does not dictate what you do with these opportunities, because that's you. That's up to you, what you do. That's left up to your faith, your courage, your talent, your intellect. And so is this parable. We now see this major loser, this slave. He was afraid. He was lazy. He couldn't take the risk because he had no confidence. He didn't believe in Christ. He didn't believe in his master. And God loves to give you, each of us in this room, opportunities. He loves to give you opportunities. And the only reason he wouldn't give you an opportunity is if you do a terrible job of the ones he's already given you. If you pass them by. If you just are passing time. The other point I want you to remember as we close here is that as you follow the miracles of Christ through the Bible, think about this. Every time he does a miracle, he asks the recipient to do something. Now, what do you mean? Read it. Extend me your hand. Get up. Take your bed and go home. Go wash your eyes in the pool. He never ever says, why don't you just lay there and I'll check on you tomorrow. He wants you to participate in the good that he is giving you. So we just don't sit there and languish in the hope that things are going to get better. If you want them to get better, get up and move. The two good and faithful servants, they took risks. That's right. Because they knew their master entrusted them. We too, all of us here must strive every day with all of our strength to be a child of our Lord. Someday, I guarantee this for all of you, someday you will meet your Lord and Savior face to face. You're going to see him. And here's what I want. Here's what I hope for. This is what I pray for. You're going to be joyous, and he's going to be joyous, and he's going to say, you know, you did good. Come and go with me. Amen.